To spin the disc yourself, like on a treadmill or something, back then.
Exactly. The bicycle pedal back.
Oh, we're on. Oh, welcome back. And this is going to be module four. Now, before we
module
get started.
Four.
Just to let everybody know. So after this module, we're going to take a 1 hour meal break. So this is our official meal break after this. So hang with us, and then we'll break for some food. So this is going to be module four. So welcome back. Let me show you where we are right now. We are in, obviously enough, module four. And now what we're going to do is start to build configurations and testing out our pulse servers. And you might be kind of interested in kind of saying, well, why didn't you just show us some quick configs before? Well, because there's another layer that gets added to this. I don't want to say of complexity. It's something you just need to know and understand. So we've got a little bit more to add. It's not just about throwing out some configs at this point. Matter of fact, let me show you the module layout and you'll see kind of what I mean here.
It's worth noting, however, that here at this point, we're getting into the details of the platform. So these are really kind of platform things. These are some of the mechanisms that are very, very important for large-scale configuration management.
Your mic's not plugged in.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to be just fine. Just fine. So we'll have him start all over again. And it is with the management platform. And actually, this is a very important point because this is where you're going to see some things that I had told you earlier that you're going to kind of say, well, wait a minute. Isn't there a better way? Well, that's not quite the point right now.
Oh, sorry about that. So we're going to go into is a bunch of the platform components. Now, a lot of this is very important to be it's designed this way so that we can have very scalable systems. However, they're pretty chewy, and a number of people have looked at these things and said, really? Do I really need to do that? And the answer is, if you're kind of an advanced scripter, yep. These are the things you want to do. If you're not, then these are things that a product that you might buy might want to use them, and you want to might more focus in on either one, maybe you hire a consultant to set it up for you, or you buy a product, or you focus more on the push scenarios. Because there are going to be some parts here that are a little bit chewy, GUIDs and checksums, and we'll explain why we do those things. But just to set your expectation, at this stage, we're going to get into chewy stuff that's just this module, and then we come back and go into resources that would be applicable for everybody. In fact, it gets dramatically simpler as soon as we start talking about the use of the mechanisms we've been talking about to then go configure systems. So get a little complex now, get a lot simpler.
And I think perfect. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Let me show you the module overview that we're going to do is we're going to take a look at how the deployment works. Actually, you've already got a great idea of this. We're going to configure the LCM, but this is where some of that chewiness is going to come in. We're going to have to do some special things here. We're going to make a configuration pretty straightforward, and then we're going to show you how to get some node status and some other diagnostics that are available as you're trying to troubleshoot all of this. Things that some of them you've already seen, but some of them you haven't. So we're going to start right off with on how the deployment is going to work, and actually, Jeffrey's already started talking about this, so let's just kind of put this out. We've got pull servers.
Yep.
Life is good. I've got whatever pull server I want, SMB or HTTPS.
Yep.
And I'm going to write a configuration document. We're not going to we've been naming it for the machine that it's going to. We're not going to name it that anymore.
Nope.
We're going to name it. We're going to give it a special number, a GUID. Why are we going to do this? I mean, why are we creating a GUID in the first place for all of this?
So again, the idea here is that you're going to have a machine who's going to use that GUID to then reach out to the server to get his information. Now, when you'll say, here's who I am, give me my configuration. When we first started to think about this, we thought, well, hey, instead of that, we ended up there. Where we started was to think through, well, I'll give it my name. And then as well, well, geez, is that the right thing? Maybe I need the name and some identity information. And so then we had this idea of a property bag of identity of various strengths. And we'll generate that each time, and we'll send that each time. And then as we thought about that, it's like, oh, and we'll need to add this. And then, oh, well, we'll probably want that. And as we pulled on that, we realized, boy, there's a bunch of stuff that you might want to use The operative word is might.
Might.
And that list kept growing every time we thought about it. So we realized that a far better approach would be to say, hey, let's just have an identifier. Again, we were on the page, we want to be very lightweight so we can do things very, very quickly. So let's just have an identifier. And then all that information that you might want to have will have a separate path to go collect an inventory and associate all that with the GUID. Now, that's something that is not implemented. That's something we expect a product will do. That's something, if you take a look in configuration management products, that's something that they often do. But that's why it's a GUID.
And we're going to be talking a lot more about this, but you're going to start us seeing use this right from the very beginning. Matter of fact, take a look. Here's the first thing that we're going to do. We're going to take a look at doing an SMB for our pull. I want to show you a pull configuration. I'm going to first show you how you might see it on the internet the old way. Then I'm going to show you the new way of how to set up an LCM, switching it from push, putting it on pull, and the different ways to set it up. And we're going to have to start to look at this GUID. We're going to assign a GUID to the machines that is going to be used. We can also do the polling interval and that kind of stuff. So let's go ahead and just dive right in with this first part. And let me get over to my magical machine. Now, first of all, we've started configuring the LCM with a configuration. And I want to show you kind of the old style. Again, and configuration of an LCM, and here's what you might see on the internet. Let me scroll down here. You'll see whatever nodes that you're going to want to send this config to, and this keyword, local configuration manager, and you'll see something down here called a download manager name. And we had a couple of them, and DSC file download manager was for an SMB pull, and there's a web download manager for an HTTP or HTTPS pull. And then you would give them the pathing information. I want you to, when you see this on the internet, go just old. Say old and busted.
No, it's not busted.
Production guy's missing the camera gig because I'm doing old and busted. Now it's time for new hotness. So here's new hotness.
Yeah, it's not busted.
It's not busted.
It's not, yeah. Not as glorious and wonderful.
It's not as glorious and wonderful. So let me give you an example here. So I want to just kind of show you, obviously you've written PowerShell functions before, so I want to show you something that was along the way. Here's that magical keyword up at the top, and I've got configuration. Notice that just like a function, I've put in some parameters. I've got a couple of parameters in here, so it makes it easier for me to pass these in. We're going to talk more about parameters a little bit later on, but I wanted to see that it's possible to actually do this with parameters. I'm going to send it computer name, and I want you to notice GUID. The node is going to be that computer name. I'm just setting up a couple of settings here. Apply and autocorrect. Here's the important piece. I'm changing the refresh mode from push to pull. Now, here's the next thing I need to do. Is I need to assign a GUID to that machine. Now, I'm going to show you a quick way to get a GUID in just a moment. Here is the new way of setting up your pull servers for where they're located. This is configuration repository share, and we have configuration repository web. Right? Is that it?
Well, IntelliSense, my friend.
You know what? What am I doing?
I have no idea.
IntelliSense. Well, here's the IntelliSense for repository share, and I'll show you the other one when we get to the web.
No, just go up and hit control space here.
See? Oh, on settings?
No. Go up above settings, one space, like right in the middle.
Like?
Yeah, right there.
Anywhere? Let's see. Let's do that. Okay, well, let me do this. Let's try this. Let's move him down a line.
Yeah, go there.
And... oh, there it is.
See?
Configuration repository.
Why would you waste those precious neurons? There are so few. Why would you waste them trying to remember this?
First of all, did you catch where I have so few of those
They're
neurons.
They're precious. I said I call them precious.
Second thing, those of you that we've been in class before or something like that, you know how I harp on stop trying to memorize stuff always at see. I even make that mistake too. And I have few neurons. So let's go back to the config. Here we go. I've got a configuration ID with a GUID. I'm going to set this up for an SMB. So this is the name of a configuration repository share. I'm going to give it a name, DSC SMB. And here's the source path. This is the UNC to that SMB share that we created earlier. Now, when I call this, when I run this configuration, I want you to notice what I'm going to do. I'm going to set the computer names. I had already done this part before. I'm going to set it for S1 and S2, but here's the new part. How do I get a GUID? Well, there's a nice quick way to get a GUID here. and this will generate a GUID for me. In fact, let me just show you what it looks like. It's that long number that you're all aware of, you know, that it'll generate a GUID for me on the fly. And then I want to create this MetaMoth. So I'm going to call this configuration with for those computer names with that GUID. Now, Jeffrey, I need to, this really confused me at first. And this is something that is part of the management of this. And so I'm going to create an LCM configuration for a couple of machines.
Yep.
They both have the same GUID.
Yeah, they can. Yep.
And as everybody's going to see here in a little bit, they're going to call, they're going to go find a configuration based upon that GUID number.
Correct.
So is this how I would like group machines for a configuration? Is that the idea here?
You can use it however you want. So one way to do it is to say, let's again think through the model. One idea, right, I think the thing that comes to most people's heads is, oh, I give everybody their unique ID, and then when they come in, I will give them the appropriate thing. But what if you want them all to be the same? Well, if you had a product, that would be very easy to do. I say, oh, these GUIDs all get this one common configuration file. But we're not giving you a product here. We're giving you a platform and sort of an example usage. So it turns out that every time the out-of-the-box implementation takes the GUID and looks for a MOF of that name. So if you wanted to have 1,000 machines all be configured the same, you'd have to have 1,000 MOFs all with the unique GUIDs, and then maybe they're the same, maybe they're not. So one of the tricks there, and again, if you're doing a product, that's the way you do it, because you wouldn't do that. You just come in with the GUID, you do some mapping, you'd only have one version. You'd say, oh yeah, you're getting this,
you're getting this.
We don't have a mechanism for you to do that. You know, product developers, they write code like that. That's pretty straightforward. So one of the tricks you can do when you say, I'm just going to use the inbox thing, you know, the kind of like example platform, but I want everyone to be the same, is you give them all the same GUID. And then they come and they'll all get the same configuration.
And I think one of the challenging things in my mind was is looking for that product piece. Because yep. I was saying, well, I'm going to issue all these guys the same GUID. That gives me one config for everybody. Got that. But now this is getting harder and harder to manage.
Yeah, most people, that's a very common refrain. Hey, where's the product? And the answer is, for the Pulse server, you really do want a product when you want to scale a large number of things. Now, in reality, with the Push server, you can scale a very large number as well. I don't know if you saw in the notes, I pointed out that the way you do that, we mentioned in parallel, you can say start DSC configuration minus throttle limit. I think there's a default number of 32 or 64.
Yeah, I think so.
And you can say, I want to send this out to 1,000 at a time. So you can scale out
pretty darn good with Push,
amazingly. Yeah. So that one, most people have been very successful with. When they get to the Pulse server, they're more like, hey, where's the product? And they're, you know, we've got some great partners. And
yeah, and just to also let you know, if you are somebody really into writing some of these tool sets yourself, there's a lot of stuff in the PowerShell community, the DSC PowerShell community. Stephen Murawski, Dave Wyatt have been building and will show you how to make little databases and stuff like that to kind of start to send you down that road of making those. So I just want to throw that out. Now, take a look back down here. We're going to run this, so I'm going to end up getting MOFs with GUIDs, and I'll run it. Whoops, unable to save. I don't need you to save. I just need you to run. Oh, did I open it? You know what I did? I opened up this again. I don't believe it. I did it a second time. I am totally embarrassed.
So few precious.
So few precious neurons. Oh.
Oh, wait, I think you skipped over something.
I'm the guy. Module. Whoop, wrong module. Module 4.
So few.
So few. So let's go ahead and try this again. I'm gonna bring this guy up, the brand new one. And did I miss something that I was going over? What did I miss?
So remember, we said that the configuration name is just like function. It defines a name that can be run.
Right.
Take a look at line 4.
Line 4.
Parameters. It can take parameters.
Right.
Because it's just like a function.
Because it's just like a function.
Yep.
Yeah, I was actually mentioning that. This is actually very exciting because we're going to talk about that with the, you weren't listening. get it. He wasn't even listening. Because when we talk about reusable stuff, actually tomorrow, but
very critical.
it's totally makes life a lot easier. So now that I'm in as administrator, let's try to run this again. And we'll get our files created here. I want you to notice, since we are configuring the LCM, these are the metamoths for S1 and S2. But take a look. We're going to try something. Let's go back out here. Now, I can show you where these are were copied, because this is where I had them sent out, was to the DSC. So you can see the S1, S2 metamoths out there. I told you I wasn't going to show you a moth again. Now, I'm going to set the local configuration manager on those two servers. I'm using that path where those metamoths are. So let's get those guys configured. And once they go through, I can see here that it works successfully, but I like using get DSC local configuration manager just to take a quick look. I'm going to narrow this down to one particular box to take a look at. And it did get changed to pull. And it is up here. There's under configuration ID. There's the GUID that got generated and set on those machines for me. Now we want to create a configuration. Yeah.
And you see the local configuration download, local or configuration download managers?
Oh, yeah. The configuration download managers.
Did you ever take a look at that?
Oh, no, huh? What do you?
Oh, say, you know, $X=, and then explore that.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
So again, one of the great things about PowerShell is the exploration. So.
Yeah, let's do that. And so let's see here, $X.
Dot config. Dot.
Configuration download managers.
Ta-da.
Oh, take a look.
Yeah.
Desired state configuration. It's a share. Oh, this is taking in and showing us our configuration settings for it. Oh, this is outstanding. So we can verify that it got set up. And here's, boy, talk about the troubleshooting tip of the day.
There you go.
Did you set it to the right share?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to find out whether I did or not, but that's okay, that's outstanding. So let's take a look at the configuration. Guys, we're getting to the hard part. The easy part is the configuration at this point. This is what's weird. We started out this morning, and now this actually should probably start to look more comfortable to you. Take a look. Configuration, I'm giving it the name of backup, and I just want to point out, guys, I forget this all the time. Control space, and it will show you, it will show you and the IntelliSense for it. So I've got the name backup, and I've got a node. I'm calling it SMB Computers. Doesn't matter what I'm calling it. And the Windows feature that I want is the backup software for server. Now, the feature name, I've already looked it up, was Windows Server Backup, and I'd like that present. This is not a complicated configuration. That's not the point. The point is I'm going to run that configuration and store it in this location. Now, in the past, it created this configuration. We had computer names here that we would send out, but we're not going to do that anymore. And this is what Jeffrey and I were just talking about. We're going to change this into, we're going to name the file after the GUID that's on those machines.
Exactly.
Now, this is a tricky part here, folks, is that I need the GUID from the machines that we just configured the LCM on, and then I'm going to name my configuration, the file name, to have that GUID. That's how the LCM knows which one it wants, right?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to use PowerShell to go ask one of those machines for its GUID.
Yeah.
So let's try this.
As one would.
As one would. So I'm going to do get DSC local configuration manager. Notice I'm going to store it into a variable for $GUID. I'm going to go grab it from S1. You might be saying, well, I got 50 machines out there. You only need it from the one if they're all the same. And I'm going to expand property on the configuration ID so I get that GUID. Now, when I run this, I'm going to just go down here and just check to see what's in there, $GUID. It has it. Now I'm going to play a trick. That's not really a trick. It's just PowerShell. So source path is going to be that location of that original moth for our configuration. The destination is going to be the path to the pull server. And I want you to notice something. I'm going to take that GUID. I'm going to make it part of the new file name. So we're going to do a copy process. Let me go ahead and get these two variables loaded. And now I'm going to copy the source, which will be from here, to the destination, which will be out to that SMB share, and it'll create that file name. Whoops. Is denied. I'm in as administrator this time. I swear to God, I'm in as administrator.
Oh, because you're doing it to the share. Do you have right access?
Oh, you know what?
I don't think you gave yourself right access.
That could very well be. Get SMB share. I just want to make sure that it's out there real quick. DSC SMB.
Yep.
Yeah, it's out there. Tell you what, let's just change this real quick. Because you know what? I don't know if I gave myself the correct permissions to it. We'll just change this to put it into the path directly. And let's go make the copy. Now, I want to just check to make sure that those files are out there real quick. And so here's that file. Let's take a look at it. There's the configuration file, the moth that has our configuration. Notice it has the same name as the GUID that's on the LCMs, but we're not done yet. This still isn't going to work. We have to have a checksum.
Yes.
What is a checksum? And
checksum, why do checksum. I have it? Okay, so checksum, basically, you analyze a large amount of content and produce a unique identifier for it. So you just say, how big of a checksum do you want? You just start adding with rollover, and you get a unique identifier, like a hash.
Like a hash, okay.
So now, why do you need a checksum?
Yes.
Well, for efficiency. Okay, so what happens is the agent says, here's who I am, and it gets a configuration. It's a little more complicated than that. What he actually says is, here's who I am, and here's a checksum of my current configuration. And then the server comes and says, oh, you have, instead of saying, oh, I'm always, if I say, here's who I am, give me my configuration. He's always going to get a configuration, and then he's going to go make it so. That can be very expensive.
Okay, so what you're saying is, okay, I think I see where you're headed with this. If we didn't have a checksum, my LCM would say, give me a config. The pull server would say, here's a config. Every machine would always get the config every single time they asked for it.
Heavy, heavy, heavy.
Heavy, heavy, that's the inefficiency.
Not a platform.
And so now the checksum is going to make this better.
Yeah, now the other alternative is for it to say, oh, here's who I am, and here's my configuration. And it sends up and says, oh, I'll compare the your current configuration against the configuration you should have. I do a comparison. They're the same. You're fine. Or they're not the same. Here's your configuration. Okay, but then I got to send the configuration all the time.
Heavy, and the pull server now has to do the compare.
Which is heavy.
Which is heavy. And so this is even now getting worse.
Yeah. So what we do is, whenever I have a configuration, I keep the checksum of the configuration. So all I do is I send up, I say, here's who I am, and here's the checksum of my configuration. The pull server does a very quick comparison of the checksum you gave against the checksum of the configuration you should have. That's very light, that's very fast, and can quickly say, you're happy, go your way, or here's your new configuration.
So I see. So this, because it's so quick to be able to do that comparison and so short, this checksum, it also lets us, I mean, it obviously tells us, because if the checksum changes, we know the configuration now has changed. In that light process, we can get the new config down. Just out of curiosity, did you try methods 1 and 2 before you got to the checksum?
Or no,
did you just,
because we're smart.
Okay. Just want to point that out, that I would have done method 1 and probably been happy. So anyways, here we go. Production guy's laughing at me. You know that's going to be a rough day. So what we need here is, we've got this moth with the file name for the GUID, but now we want the checksum so we can have the efficiency back in all of this. So there is a commandlet for this. It's called new DSC checksum. And what I'm going to do is have him run that against that current moth. He's going to make a new file out there when he runs. And this is a common area for mistakes, is not making sure you have a checksum for it. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at that checksum. Now you can see, if I expand this out, I've got two files out there. I've got the moth with the configuration and the moth.checksum. And this is what is going to get checked that Jeffrey was talking about.
You might want to type it just so people see. Just cat it. Cat the checksum file.
Oh, you want me to open it?
Well, you can do that too.
Oh, I guess, yeah, I could cat it, yeah.
There you go, it's checksum.
Really short.
Yeah.
Yeah, really short.
It's long enough so that it's unique, and short enough that it's easy to compare.
That it's easy to do the compare with. Okay, great. So, let's do a quick check here. Here's what we're going to do. At this point, everything should be working for our SMB pool. We're going to take a quick look at S1 to see if the Windows Server backup is installed, and you will see that no, it is not. So now what I want to do is I want to send out this configuration. Now, S1 has a configuration. I can update his config. We'll see if it installs here. And now what's going to happen is that the LCM is, this is a way of kicking the LCM and getting him to go out and look to see if he has the current configuration. Now, I ran this without dash wait this time so that you can see that it does run as a job. And then I could type, oh, I want to see, and it says the job's running. Let's do get job. Wanted to have a chance to show everybody this way. It's still running. We'll check it again. Ah, it's completed. And so if I wanted to, I could receive this job to get any information about it.
Before you carriage turn, type receive job, and then dash keep. This is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Let's do dash keep. ID 13 dash keep.
Yeah.
And so look, there's that verbose output that we would normally get.
Yeah.
And it tells us, we can scroll through this, and it kind of tells us what's going on.
But the keep meant you can ask for it again.
Right. And something really important, if you're working with jobs, dash keep stays in memory. You can ask for it again. As soon as you don't do it with dash keep, one shot, you're done. So we can always ask for this. We can store it to a variable. We can send it to a database at this point.
Now, you did it just for one. I'm curious as to why you did that.
Because I wanted to show that it didn't do it for both of them.
Oh, okay, great. So here's the thing. One of the great benefits of jobs is child jobs. Okay, so as soon as you do, have we done one, to multiples?
No, we haven't.
So you notice, take a look at the help or the verbose field there.
Oh, okay.
Go up a bit. Okay, see where it's saying S1 at the very beginning? That's telling you the machine it came from.
Ah, yes.
Now, as soon as you say, hey, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do a push to more than one machine, they're all happening in parallel, you're getting all the feedback streaming to you, so it's interleaved. That's why we have to put S1 and, you know, the name of the computer there. But it's interleaved, so it can be a little bit hard to follow. When you do it as a job, okay, if you do a receive of the job, it'll come back looking exactly the same.
Oh, I see.
But a job has a field called child jobs. And the child jobs separate all the input and output and all the streams from the various different jobs. So you can go to a child job and you can receive job on the child job and get a fully coherent view of just that input.
Okay, that's a great point. In fact, when we do the resource roundup, which will be the first module after meal break, we're gonna send it to two machines and we're gonna do exactly that. Now, you've worked with jobs, you've looked at child jobs, but this is a great use for that to help, well, examine the data, especially for errors without having it all interleaved and messed up.
Exactly, because that can be a bit of...
We're gonna do that. So let's go see how we're doing here with our features. On S1, it should be completed. And you collect the data, you'll see that Windows Server Backup, yep, I got the config. I don't think it's occurred yet on S2. I just wanted to check it real quick because remember, I did not update the configuration on this and have him go check. I'm also going to run a test configuration on S1. As we've done this earlier, I just wanted to run it real quick just to show that, yep, I'm in my desired state. And if I did it on S2, he would not be yet. Now, S2 will do it by its polling interval since I didn't use the update DSC configuration. But you can see that our pull server worked correctly. Now, a couple of important points that you've gotten from a simple SMB pull server. One, setting up an SMB pull server is simple. Two, putting the configurations out is not quite as simple. First of all, we have to configure everybody's LCM. We have to give them a GUID. Then when we save the configuration to the pull server configuration, the name has to be a GUID, and then we have to generate a checksum. Now keep this concept in mind because the next two pull servers, we have to do the exact same thing with as far as that process with the GUID goes. So let's take a look at HTTP.
And let me identify a common problem, a mistake that people make. Often what you'll do, because you're going to do this, so you need to be aware, because I've done it. Everybody does this. You'll go and you'll set this up. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And then you'll update it and things aren't working. And what happened is, and then you'll go look and your MOF is updated. You know, you drill into the details. It's supposed to be that way. And you go and it's not working. And the answer is, it's just checking against the checksum. If you don't update the checksum, then it thinks that you know, you're operating yourself. Again, that's the sort of thing a product would make sure always happen, that it would never allow you to update a configuration without updating the checksum. But it's not a product, it's a platform, so you have to do that yourself. So anytime you update the MOF in a Pulse server, you have to update the checksum or it ain't going to work.
And I just want to throw out real quick, because what he says is I spent half a day troubleshooting that.
There you go. Don't you wish you had attended this MVA?
I certainly do, because now I wouldn't have made the mistake. One of the things I actually did is I made I have a module, and I made a function that would just, for lack of a better word, it would take my MOF and just package it, and it has all of these commands in it, so it would always make the checksum. After that afternoon, yeah. I just went, I don't want to troubleshoot that again. So I just made my own function.
And that's exactly what automation is for, to say, yes, don't do that. Don't do copy file. Do, like, right. I'm going to write a publish my module. And it grabs that stuff, copies it, and runs the checksum, and you always use that.
Yeah, exactly. We wanted you to make sure that you had the code so you could understand it, turn it into a function in this case, but you're going to see me run it over. Let's take a look at doing an HTTP pull test now. We set up an HTTP pull server, and it's on my domain controller, DC. This is the straight HTTP one, and I've got the old style. In case you want to get visually accustomed, if you see it on the internet, this is the old way. You don't want to use this. This one used a web download manager. It still works, but we've got better ways now. So let me give you the new way of doing this. And this is our new and improved. Again, DSC Local Configuration Manager. It's the same configuration file I had for the SMB pull one so far. I'm passing parameters computer name and GUID to it. I've got my settings, same thing, configuration ID, $GUID. There's no difference here, except now I'm gonna set this for configuration repository web. I'm gonna give it a name. And I've given it a name, and here's the URL. This is the same testing URL that I was using. Take note, HTTP, out to DC, port 8080, psdscpullserver.svc. Now, this is HTTP, so I need to tell the LCM to allow the unsecured connection is set to true. This is a pretty straightforward, not many changes here, just one little change in there. I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna set it for computers S1, S2. I'm gonna generate a new GUID for them. Yes, if I wanted to use the existing GUID, I could have just retrieved it from them. Then I'm going to send this out, and then we'll set them. So I'll run this for HTTP, and we will send this out to the local configuration manager. So set, and I'm going to set this for both of them. And they are configured. And now we're going to do a new configuration. This time we're going to do it with HTTP as the pull. So let me go ahead and open up this config. Again, it's not about the config in this case, it's a simple config. I've got the node, I'm just calling it HTTP computers. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna install a small component, SMTP server, and make sure that that's present. So I'm gonna run this so that I get a configuration. And then we're gonna do the same thing we just did. I need to get that configuration up to the pull server, and it needs to be with a GUID and with a checksum. So first of all, I'm gonna grab the GUID that I want from one of the computers that is out there. I'm using the same commands I just did. Source is gonna be that MOF that was created. And the destination, take a look at my destination. This is something I wanna show to you graphically before I execute this. This is the location of where your configurations on a pull server, an HTTP pull server, should be. Whoops, let me bring this guy back. And I'm gonna go out to, this was the default setting when we configured the pull server and its website. This is where it came from. So this is the new location. It's program files, Windows PowerShell. Now here's where people get confused. Modules that you may have copied for this machine, like your management machine, is Windows PowerShell modules. For the HTTP pull server, it's under DSC service modules, or excuse me, configuration. That's where we want to have the configuration files. So I'm just going to copy them quickly out there. That's going to be my destination. And let's copy them. And I've got to do the checksum. Got to make sure I got that checksum out there. And again, now we're going to try out for SMTP. Let's go ahead and get Windows feature just to prove to you that it's not installed. And you'll see here SMTP server is not installed. I'm going to tell S1 to update his configuration. And so I've got the job running in the background, just like we had the last time. And again, just to let you know, if you wanted to see it without having to look at the job later, you could do dash wait on here. And I'll check real quick just to see if he's done, because once he's done, job ID is 22. Whoop, he's still running. Oh, it should be done here pretty quick.
You gotta wait?
Yeah, I didn't start it with wait. I probably should have.
Say wait job.
Oh, wait. Well, I don't want to stop it. Oh.
Yeah, it won't stop.
Oh, wait. You know what? I've never used that.
Why?
And I just admit it publicly on air.
Yeah.
22.
Did you used to be an MVP?
Oh, wow.
Snap.
Wow, snap. Okay, job is now completed. Wow. So let's take a look and see if you got it.
Wait, job's awesome, because what you can do is you can give it a job collection, and then you can say return when any of them are done, or return when all of them are done. It's really worth exploring.
And see, I've used it. See, usually I have a firing off. Yeah, that's, I got to play with that some more.
Yeah.
So if you take a look, I've got my SMTP server has been, so the configuration worked from the pull server, and we'll check S2, the configuration won't be out to S2 yet. And so we've proven that the HTTP server actually works as a pull server. Again, the most common mistakes is not making the checksum or not even knowing that your files needed to be named after the GUID, because that's how the machine is getting it.
Yep.
Well, HTTP is great for the lab. But, you know, we set up this HTTPS server.
Oh, go for it.
You know, and I think the production guy is probably going to beat me if I don't show a slide at this point. So we've already done the preparing. Oh, good. That's perfect. So on preparing the config, your most important notes, configurations get copied to the web server. Program files, Windows PowerShell, DSC configuration. You're going to see that all again when we go to HTTPS here. You've got to have GUIDs that are matching from the clients. For the file name, you've got to create the checksum. Let's go do HTTPS now the correct way. So let me go back. And now we'll do HTTPS. Now, one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to try to play this game again. I'm going to need the thumbprint from that certificate. Now, we did this earlier, and he didn't want to give me the thumbprint. Let's see how he's feeling about it now. Of course, he's going to do it again, so we're just going to change this again to like, and we'll put in star. And I want to show you guys the thumbprint that I'm going to grab. So let's go over here, invoke it. And it's the thumbprint down here. I checked and verified it should have been this one. I grabbed the wrong one. See, you were right. I should have had the friendly name because I wouldn't have screwed it up.
Just saying.
Yeah, just saying. So I've got the thumbprint. Now, earlier we needed this thumbprint when we set up this pull server. We need it again as we need to work with the LCM. So let me open up the script for the LCM in this case. Oops, I just set a debug point. Let's not do that, or a break point. Open him up. Here's the LCM config that we're going to set. Here's what we want to change. Everything else remains the same. We're going to have him in pull mode. He's going to need a GUID. Down here, we're going to change this to configuration repository web. We've already done that for HTTP. Now we're going to make it HTTPS. And here's how we do that. We've added only one thing, and that's certificate ID.
Yep.
And I have the wrong ID in there. So what do you say we put in the right one? Is that really the wrong one? Boy, yeah, I guess it is. So we'll put in the right one. Now, important, I've got the certificate ID in for the LCM. I need to make sure that allow unsecured connection, which was set to true before, is now set to false. I believe false is the default, but I would have to look. So the only two changes, really, certificate ID, allow the secure connection is set to false, and now I can run this, grab a GUID just like I had done before in previous examples, and we'll send this out to those two machines. So let's go ahead and send the configuration out with set to those two machines. And let's see if we can prove that it worked. I've got another configuration, and this time we're gonna, I think we're removing something. Oh, it says remove. What are we gonna remove? Oh, we're gonna remove SMTP server. So notice that we've changed ensure to absent.
Yeah, that's how you declaratively remove something.
Remove something, and you're right. I do like ensure present in there for some reason for maintaining that script for seeing it, but yeah, it's really absent means, yeah, get that, okay. So let's go ahead and run this config. And we're gonna do the same thing. So I'm just gonna select all of these really quick. We gotta grab, this is why you wanna turn this into a function. and I'm gonna copy them and just show you that it gets copied to S4. So I'm just gonna run these and it'll bring up Explorer. I haven't done the checksum yet. Just wanted you to see this is on S4. There's the MOF, and I'll minimize him. We'll do the checksum. And I can bring it back up and show you that the checksum's now out there. Whoops. I forgot which one I was on, but that's okay. We won't do that. We'll just assume that he got out there. Get Windows feature. We'll just show you that he's out there.
Installed. Yep.
We'll do an update. And this time I've got dash wait and verbose because I don't want to be embarrassed by another job incident. Get it? Okay, probably not. And so notice right here it's saying uninstallation started, continue with removal. So we can see through verbose watching what's actually happening. Now, you guys know when you uninstall Windows features, usually you get the message a reboot is required, so you see that message.
Sometimes,
yeah. And we'll talk about dealing with reboots actually tomorrow. But and so let's do this. Let's see if the feature is gone. The feature is gone as we asked it to.
Uninstall pending.
And uninstall is pending. So the installed state, this will, if you hang with us tomorrow, that's going to come up because we're going to do some fun, cool things with that. And so we have managed to do an SMB, an HTTP, an HTTPS. Yes. We got them to work. We got the goods. We got the checksum. You know, one of the trickiest things is when I started with DSC was if something did work or something didn't work, how do I know?
Uh-huh.
So we have a slide, and we only have a few minutes left, guys. So we're going to show you this. And believe me, we're going to be showing you a lot as we go through this on troubleshooting, this kind of stuff, but querying node status and some other diagnostic stuff. So this is XDSC diagnostics, getting the events, and querying node status.
Yeah.
Does that sound cool?
Ish.
Ish? Kind of cool-ish? Let's try it out. So querying node status. Do you see what I'm going to grab? So, guys, I want to show you something. I've got this website in here. This is from it's how to retrieve the node status. And I want to show you that this is, I stole it, okay? I'm just going to say, I just stole it because PowerShell blog, how to retrieve node information. Here is a description of the status codes that come back for the node status. Now, the reason you want this website is because I don't have these memorized either. So we'll show you a way to pull this node information back. This is one of the ways to do it. And down here is a way to set this up. And I want to show you, they've given you a way to pull the JSON right from the web server. And this is from that compliance server piece that we had put in there. We could ask this information. Now, I don't want to put too much of a heavy hand on it, but they used right host. So I stole this, but I changed it. And I'm going to show you what I changed it to. I basically copied that on querying the node status, and I changed the write host to write output, and here's what we're going to do.
Good.
I'm going to call that, and we're going to ask for the node status, and this is a function that's already been built, and I'm down here at the bottom, I'm going to call and use that function. Let me just show you what comes right off the website when I run this so you can kind of see what's going to happen here. And this is one of those, come on. I want you to see that it's come up with the target name. This happens to be one of the nodes that it hit there. It's configuration ID. Remember how we were playing with the configuration IDs for it. Its status code is 0. I'd go back to the website and check that. This can start to help you drill into some of the information about what's coming from your nodes as they're getting their configurations. You like, you don't like? I like.
Well,
you
know about get DSC configuration status.
What, there's a better way than all of this code?
Yes. Didn't you see that? February, I guess it wasn't, I guess we just released that.
See?
What?
So you want
to type. What?
Okay.
What would you think?
So instead of me stealing all this code and putting all this in, all I needed to do was.
Well, what do you want?
I just want to know about.
You want to get?
I want to get. I want to get a DSC. DSC. I want to know about. I got DSC twice. Configuration. Oh, and I want to know about its node status. So. Now we got status.
Think, type, get.
Think, type.
It all begins with thinking, Jason.
Oh! You got to move your dragon. You got to move. It all begins with thinking, Jason. So. Let's grab all.
Sim session.
Oop, I forgot to put in the sim session.
Tells you who you grab it all from.
So, wait a minute. Oh, my fingers are no longer working here. S1, success! Oh, some information here. We've got a reboot request in here. We got success, number of resources that it has. Oh, now see, this is the same. It's giving me great.
Oh, yeah.
So here's one of the things. Staying up on documentation really helps. In all seriousness, this is moving really quick.
Yeah, it
is. So a lot of the things that you find and some of the ways that people have been doing things might get updated really fast. Is this hard to keep up with? Yeah, but it's worth keeping up with because instead of that confusing code that I was trying to play with and deal with, which isn't that confusing. I mean, it works really well and gives you some extensibility. One of the beautiful things about as it's moving forward is they're putting in the commandlets to help us make this a little bit easier. So,
and we're listening to you. So as you say, hey, what about this? We're coding it. So we love the feedback. It's a benefit of this more agile development process that we're doing. Now, in your machine, do you have show object? Cut to his machine.
Do I have show?
Show object, dash object. You don't. Okay, so Lee Holmes has this wonderful thing called Show Object, and it's in the PowerShell cookbook, but you don't have the PowerShell cookbook. So why don't you get the PowerShell cookbook?
How would I get the PowerShell cookbook?
Well, you'd say install module PowerShell cookbook.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh.
Now, this so, is, you want to pay attention to this. You really
install
do.
Install module. Oops. Module.
PowerShell.
Oops. PowerShell.
PowerShell cookbook.
Cookbook. Lee. You put it up there as a module? That's outstanding.
Okay, now you can all do this at home. There's nothing special. It's in the public. Okay, so it's going to go find that. This will take a little bit of time. And then watch how this works. It's just so glorious.
Are you sure you want to? Yes, yes, I'm sure.
You could have said minus force.
I could have said minus force, so it wouldn't have asked.
Yep. Okay, now type show dash object. And now put like a paren, get parentheses, get configuration status, sim session.
Oh, I think I see where you're going here. Sim session. It's not sim session.
S1. What?
Did I miss? That's probably
DSC. DSC. That's why.
Tab completion is your friend. Trust it. Use it. Oh.
And by the way, now, do a control plus here.
Really?
Because I told him to.
Because. Lee Holmes. Yeah, I'm buying you dinner. Now this is
one of the greatest things because now you can explore. Like you saw when you did get DSC configuration, you saw status, you saw one line. But in fact, the object is very, very rich. Like look at the second thing there.
Resource. Oh, wait a minute.
Which resources. One? Yeah, resources in desired state property. So what it's showing you is.
Oh, there's the actual resource.
Yes. So when you have a very rich resource. A rich configuration, this will come back and tell you the names of the things that are in compliance and the names of the things that are out of compliance.
Out of compliance.
Not just that it's out of compliance.
Now, of course, now let me just ask you this, because this would make kind of sense, too. And give me my little prompt back here.
Yeah, you got to get rid of show up.
Oh, do I really? Oh, I wanted to keep him. Oh, I just run him again.
Anyway, but there's a ton of amazing stuff
in
there.
Oh, look at this. Oh, yeah, it's giving you everything that you would need to
know. Oh, you want to see something even freakier? Scroll down a bit. Go to metadata. Let's see, metadata.
Where is it? Metadata?
So, there it is. So it's resources in desired state. Click on that one.
Resources in desired state.
Oh, oops. There you go.
The pipeline stopped. It may be because I hit Control C. We can come back to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I control C. I was just going to ask real quick on doing this. This information, it's located in this object, right?
Correct.
So if I send it to get member, I could start selecting all of this stuff out. But this is much quicker and
much
easier.
Much quicker to explore. I really encourage you to use show object to explore things. Again, do that through the import install module PowerShell cookbook. And then you get show object.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Resources in desired state, resources. Oh, wow.
Yeah, look at that.
Wow, look at all of this wonderful. And this is why you guys attended the MVA in the first place, is to learn all the new and cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, a couple of quick things, folks, before we wrap up the module. There are event logs for this. Now, if you're joining us tomorrow, we're going to be showing you how to utilize these event logs a little bit more in depth, but there are event logs. I've got them listed out here for you where you can go to the event logs, but actually, be honest with you, the information from show object is going to be provide a tremendous amount of information. I also wanted to talk about, and I'm going to copy this out real quick and import it, XDSC diagnostics, because we're going to be using this over and over again, both today, a lot of it tomorrow. Just kind of introduce it to you. This also has a couple of diagnostic tools to get you started. So let me get this copied out here really quick so we can import it and take a quick look at it, because you'll see us use it. Okay, I did copy it. Stop doing that, Jason. I am now automating myself with myself. So I'm going to import it. Get XDSC operation is like a great example of showing us the computer. I just did it on DC. You can see the sequence of the different jobs that have occurred. And we can always pipe this to get member and get more information out of it. We can trace these and a sequence ID. I think, let's grab a sequence ID. Sequence ID, let's grab number 2. We can get more information. You're going to see us kind of use these as troubleshooting tools. This will help break information apart for us. Oops, I don't have the analytic log enabled. And what's funny is I'm going to show you right now how to enable it, although I can't spell it. Analytic. This is a great, you're going to see different ways to do this on the web. On the web, you will see all kinds of different ways to enable these logs, the analytic and the debug logs. Here's a new PowerShell way to do this. There's a new commandlet that'll enable the logs. That's why I wanted to give you this instead of the old way. And so I'm going to enable these logs. Oh, enabled. I misspelled it. Enabled. And its syntax is telling me, or the error message told me. So I've enabled the analytic channels. And now what's going to happen is if you were to go to Event Viewer, you will see two new channels, analytic and debug. Now when the information is running from the jobs, these things from X Diagnostics, like Trace, will now have information about what's occurring. Now, this is also about what could have gone wrong with the LCM. You're going to see us work with this. This X DSC Diagnostics module is brilliant help to troubleshooting what could be going wrong between you and your pool server.
Hey, we're almost out of time, but there's one thing. Can you go back to get DSC config? Because we almost...
Oh, yeah.
Get DSC configuration status.
Oh, DSC. Yeah. Let me just... here.
Yeah. Now, say dash all.
Dash all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here, it shows you all the runs. Okay. When it happened, the type and number of resources, and whether or not they're in compliance or not. And so what that means is, at some point you can see, let's just say that something went wrong, right? You can go back and you can see, oh wait, when did it go wrong and what was out of compliance?
And here's what I really like about this, and I'm so glad you brought this up, because what I really like is you can actually see what we've been doing all day long so far.
Yeah.
And what we've been doing with this particular machine. We sent some pushes to him. We got him some pulls, his initial, all that kind of stuff. And yes, seeing things when they're out of compliance. So get DSC configuration status is your friend. So some troubleshooting tools for you and pulling up some information, querying node information, getting node information, getting your logs set up with analytic and debug for the DSC information so you can use XDSC operation. You know, Jeffrey, we did a lot in this module. I learned a lot in this module. Probably more than I should have had to learn, but I've learned a lot. So we actually tested the pull servers, SMB, HTTP, and HTTPS. HTTPS with a certificate on it, great way to go. Mm-hmm. The GUID stuff was new to us in this environment, right? Having to name the file names, making sure we had a checksum, great explanation on the checksum, and we've got some troubleshooting tools. I think when we come back after our meal break, this is the infrastructure side that we've got set up. And this is pretty chewy stuff.
Chewy stuff, yep.
I think when we come back, we should do like a run on like the built-in resources and just start showing people where their minds can take them.
Yep.
Far as configuration management goes.
Yeah, because we've dealt with, you've eaten your broccoli, now it's time for the dessert. Sorry, is that offensive?
Well, when we come back, we're going to do a resource roundup on the built-in resources. Start to expand your mind, remind you of the resources that are new and available to you. Come back and join us after an hour. We'll be back after this meal break. Can't wait to see you come back for our resource roundup. Woohoo! Woohoo! Yeah!